Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. As we begin this morning, you will see in just a few moments, if you haven't seen it already, that today's scripture is about money and about giving. And you know me well enough to know that I would never shy away from a text that has to do with money or giving, and I think you appreciate that. We simply come to each text as the next one in our study of God's Word. But especially as it relates to Emory Baptist Church, and I hope that you noticed on your handout this morning, this coming Wednesday night, May the 27th, will be our May members meeting. And we have not had a members meeting since February because of COVID-19, but we are having one this coming Wednesday night. And I hope that you will be here in person to hear about the financial health of Emory Baptist Church. I cannot tell you how grateful and thankful I am this morning for the faithfulness and the generosity of our church members. Because as we headed into the month of April, as all of this pandemic was at least beginning, as far as the ramifications for it here in our area, we didn't know, our church leadership did not know, what would giving do. If a church who was an extremely strong giving church and valued that in-person giving, how would they respond in not meeting in person together for four consecutive Sundays? And I want you to know Emory Baptist Church has received the favor of the Lord. The month of April, the month of May, and you're going to get to hear about that on Wednesday night if you choose to come, and so I hope that you will. So I want you to know this morning, in beginning, that I don't share this sermon today in response to the need for more giving, for the need of, come on, you can do a little bit better. This simply is the next text in our study of Mark's gospel, and again, I am grateful and thankful for how faithful and generous Emory Baptist Church is in their financial giving. So we are still on Tuesday of Passion Week, and we are later in the day on Tuesday of Passion Week, and Jesus is in the temple. We'll see in just a moment. And he is in this continual conversation and dialogue with his disciples, with the Jewish religious leaders. And I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, What Does God Want From You? What does God want from you? And not only will you find today's story in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, but you'll also find it in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And so if you have found Mark's gospel in the 12th chapter and the 41st verse, would you please stand in honor of God's word for these four verses? Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. And so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood." Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the body of Christ gathered here to worship you in spirit and in truth, to hear from you. And so please speak to us this morning and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to your word. And help us understand clearly when we leave here today what you want from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So just a few verses this morning as we consider God's word and our study in Mark's gospel. And here in verse 41, I want you to notice with me the observation of the proud and their many coins. The observation of the proud and their many coins. Verse 41 says that Jesus sat opposite the treasury. Well, we know from Bible commentators that this is still in the temple. This area of the temple is actually called the Court of Women. And this is the furthest point that women could go in the temple in first century Judaism. So you have this treasury. And in the treasury, there were 13 offering plate receptacles, or 13 collection boxes. And it's interesting about these collection boxes, they were brass, most likely, and they had a large trumpet-like round opening to drop in money, and it would then funnel down into a collection box or a collection plate. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus sat opposite the treasury and he saw. And in the language of the New Testament, it says that he saw and he kept seeing. And he saw and he kept seeing. Jesus, in this instance, became a people watcher. Do we have any people watchers this morning? You go to the park, you go to the mall, you go to wherever, and you simply like to watch people doing what they do. Now, also keep in mind that there are multiple thousands of first century Jews that have traveled to Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover 2 days from this point, on Thursday. So there are more people in the temple than normal, and Jesus has sat down, and he is observing, and he's observing, and he's observing, and he's observing. And notice what Mark says. Notice that it doesn't say, "and saw how much they gave." What does it say? "And notice how." What was their attitude? What was their disposition? What was their body language? "Noticed how the people put money into the treasury." And then the end of verse 41, "And many who were rich put in much." Commentators tell us that the rich, in this particular instance, would oftentimes cash in their larger denominations of currency for many smaller pieces of currency, smaller in value, so that when they came to the collection receptacle, remember this brass collection receptacle. And if you can imagine taking our coins and dropping them into a brass collection receptacle and the noise that it would make. And so the proud rich were known for cashing in their offering. And by the way, all of these were, we think, free will offerings. But they would cash in their coins to get as many smaller coins as they could so that when they went to the offering receptacle and they brought out their pouch or they brought out their sack of money or whatever they were carrying in and they let it go, and it could be heard by everyone. And when they emptied that sack or emptied that pouch into those receptacles, and then the response was, ooh, ah, wow. And that was on purpose. They liked that. They wanted that. That was intentional on their part to draw attention to self. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. Look how committed to God I am. And the larger the amount, the more coins, the greater response from the people, the happier they were. Jesus, observing the proud and there are many, many coins. Here's a second observation in verse 42. Verse 42 says, then one poor widow came and threw two mites, which make a quadrant. Here you see in verse 42 a demonstration by the poor and her meager currency. A demonstration by the poor and her meager currency. So this poor widow is to be in contrast with the many rich, the proud rich. And Mark says that this poor widow came and threw in two mites. Now some of you who've been around church for a number of years and you're familiar with this terminology, all of your life you thought this poor widow had two mice. M-I-C-E. We're not talking about rodents here, brothers and sisters. Two mites. And in the language of the New Testament, the term is actually lepta. L-E-P-T-A, lepta. And what this was, in terms that we might consider and understand, her two lepta would be the equivalent of our 1 cent. One red penny, perhaps you've heard some people say. Not two, but one. So half of a cent each. What would be the equivalency of one lepta. And I can envision in my mind, if the proud rich were coming and perhaps they're, hey, get ready. Listen to this. All of the coins. And then this poor widow, this certain poor widow, perhaps with her head down, and hopefully no one is looking. And she drops in. Her two mites. Now remember, the scriptures tell us that Jesus was observing how they gave. But in his deity, from across the way, and his omniscience, knew that she contributed to lepta. I have been privileged to see the equivalent in both of the churches that I've had the privilege of pastoring. At my previous church, certainly there were families, and there were small businessmen, and there were professional women, and they would contribute thousands of dollars in their tithes and in their offerings. And I have always been extremely grateful and thankful for their generosity. But I have at the same time been grateful and thankful for multiple widows who, for whatever reason, they may not have been able to be at church on Sunday morning. Maybe they were sick, maybe they were out of town, maybe they didn't feel comfortable being around everyone else. And yet on Monday, they would make their way to the church office with their offering envelope containing their tithes and their offerings each and every week on a fixed income that probably in the grand scheme of dollars and cents wasn't much. But God knew. And rather than being concerned about the praises of men, this widow and the widows that I have encountered have been more concerned about the praises of their Maker. I can share with you names, and I don't think that anybody in the room will even know these names, with the exception of this front row over here, but I think about Jenny Graybert. And I think about Pauline Partain. And I could even name some widows here at Emory Baptist Church who do the exact same thing. They aren't able to be here today, but I can assure you, come Tuesday, when the church office is open again, they will bring their meager, small, less than as far as quantity, offering envelope with their tithes and offerings, giving faithfully unto the Lord. And I praise the Lord for them. Here's a third observation. Third observation in verses 43 and 44, and it is an explanation of a principle from the Messiah about commitment. An explanation of a principle from the Messiah about commitment. So verse 43 says, Jesus called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, listen up, guys. Assuredly, I say to you, I'm telling you the truth, that this poor widow has put in, and then notice these next two words, underline them if you will, more than. This poor widow has put in more than all those who had given to the treasury. Now remember, we saw the proud rich who would come and they would wow us and impress us with their quantity of coins that just you could hear them giving them all across the way. And then you have the poor widow who puts in 2 half cents. And Jesus says to his disciples, this poor widow has put in more than. More than all those who have given to the treasury. And then he continues the explanation in verse 44. For they all put in out of their abundance, or your translation may say surplus. For they all put in out of their abundance or surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she had. And depending on the translation you're reading this morning, it may say something like all that she had to live on. And then the New King James says, her whole livelihood. Now let me try to put this in perspective for you. This poor widow, when Jesus says all she had to live on, do you know what that means? All that she had to live on. She was going to bed that night, hungry, possibly, because she didn't have any more. She possibly was getting up the next morning hungry because she didn't have any more money for food once she ran out. And so she was going to have to secure some type of job with some more income because she didn't have anything left. Now, probably a little bit difficult for us to grasp that, most of us in the room. Probably a little bit difficult for us to identify with that. But here's what I want you to take away from today's message. Here's what I think this text is teaching us. Number one, it may be that Jesus is more concerned with what you keep than what you give. Think about that. It may be that Jesus is more concerned with what you keep, what you hold back, what is your abundance, what is your surplus, than what you give. Or, let me say it like this. In answering the question, what does God want from you? Brothers and sisters, He doesn't want your leftovers. He wants your livelihood. He doesn't want your leftovers. He wants your livelihood, all that you have to give. But you see, this text doesn't just have application as it relates to giving. It certainly does apply to giving. And oh, how prone we are when we get that paycheck and we're paying our bills and we have more outflow than we have inflow. And our mindset a lot of times is simply, well, I'll get to the end of the month, and if I have anything else, I'll write that check. Jesus doesn't want your leftovers, brothers and sisters. He wants your livelihood. Not only does that apply to giving, it applies to serving. Well, Brother Richard, I will serve in that ministry if we don't have X, Y, Z to do. Brother Ronnie and I, Brother Chris and I, have we ever heard that before? Unfortunately, yes. so many times we give our leftovers. As it relates to attendance. Well, if nothing better comes up. Now, would anybody ever say that? No. But is that the actions that are lived out? If nothing better comes up, if it's not good weather and we can't get the boat out, I might come. If I've got all of my chores done and all my honey-do lists taken care of, we might come in. Jesus doesn't want your leftovers, brothers and sisters. He wants your livelihood. He wants everything you have to offer. But there's a second application here. You see, this text story in Mark's gospel, again, is happening on Tuesday. And it is the foreshadowing of that which would come on Friday. You see, this poor widow gave all that she had unto the Lord, and you know what? Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, God gave all he had for me and you to have the opportunity to be saved. He gave everything he could. His only begotten Son to die on the cross and in our place and for our sin, so that for anyone who would believe, that you would be at peace with God and have forgiveness of sin and heaven and eternal life. Is that a need of yours this morning? Is that a need of yours to know Christ as Savior and Lord? In just a few moments after I finish praying, we'll be standing and singing together, and I'll be here standing at the front. And if today you would answer that call to faith, you would answer that call to salvation, I'm going to invite you to step out from where you'll be standing and come and meet me here at the front. Share with me what decision that you are making for the Lord today. And I would be honored to pray with you, to counsel with you, to celebrate with you. And if appropriate, begin the discipling process with you. And for those of you who are brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Lord's Day, from this text, what does God want from you? He doesn't want your leftovers. He wants your livelihood. Everything you can give him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for this familiar story and yet so full of application for our lives. And Father, I ask and pray today that we have had, again, eyes to see and ears to hear, and a heart that is receptive to your word in giving our livelihood unto you. Not the leftover in our checking account, not the leftover in our schedule, not the leftover in our talents and abilities, but giving you our livelihood, all that we have, and letting you do with it what you will. And Lord, today, help us to recognize and to see that your Son Jesus gave everything that he could to give us the opportunity to be at peace with you. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us and we sing together, I would invite you to come this morning on the very first stanza.